need that. Lord knows, huh? We're going to be in Mark chapter 6. We're also going to be in Luke chapter 9 and John chapter 6. But in John, we're only a few verses there. But we're going to start out in Mark chapter 6. And we're going to talk about when Jesus fed the 5,000 men. You know, that's not counting the women and the children. All that we're told of is the 5,000 men. But most of the time, they didn't travel just by themselves, you know. But in Mark chapter 6. Heavenly Father, as we get into your word, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for such beautiful songs, too. Lord, we thank you for paying for our sins. Lord, for giving us a way to be forgiven. Father, we thank you for getting us past, hopefully, all this stuff in this virus, Lord. It's been different than any of us has ever seen, Lord. But from what you tell us in the word, Lord, we're liable to see a lot more of these things come around before the end. Father, if you tarry and you don't come back to get us. Father, we ask that you guide us up, that you help us. Lord, we need you. We're your little children. And we need to know what we're supposed to be doing, Lord. And this faith that you teach us through these things that you did are so important for us to learn to grow and trust you, Lord. So, Father, help us to see that in the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Jesus has just sent the 12 out. And they've been out and they've been doing all kinds of things in Jesus' name. They've actually been able to do some healings. They've been able to cast out demons. They've been able to do some amazing things. And they just come back to share with Jesus what all the Lord's done through them. Look in verse 30 of John chapter 6. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Now this desert place is not a true desert like you would think about in an old Western movie. This is not that kind of desert place, but it's a place that is more deserted. There's not a lot of people around it. It's a good little way to a town. It should be a quiet place for them to rest. So he says, y'all come on, let's rest for a while. For there were many comings and goings, and they had no leisure, much as to eat. They haven't even gotten to eat. They haven't got a break. They've been working. They've been doing the Lord's work, right? And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. So they went by ship, and the people saw them departing. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outward went them, and come together unto him. So they knew if he's going across over there, this is probably where he's going. And they run around. Ran. That's what it said there. These folks said, we ain't got all we want. We've heard of you. We want to see more of you. We want to know more of you. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So when he saw them, it moved him that these folks need him. These folks need a leader. They need guidance. They need a teacher. They're confused. They don't even know what they don't know. It's like the world that we're in today. People are going here and there, and they just don't even know what to do. They know they need something. They're trying, and they're seeking, and they're trying every new thing they hear about, looking for any new thing to try. But they can't find what's been there. You know, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about the things that were pined in the Old Testament there. Some people are a little bit surprised by it, I think, but there's nothing new under the sun. These same ways that people are today, they weren't back then. They're seeking. But only Jesus can fill that void. Only Jesus can give you that peace and joy that you're looking for. This world can't give it to you. And even when you're trying to follow the Lord, when you get off track, you're going to be right back into worldly stuff. And your peace is going to be stolen from you. Your joy is going to be stolen from you. And it's going to be because you let it go. Yes. You didn't protect it. You know, Paul tells us, every day to put on the armor of God because you're going to battle. Every single day. If you don't protect your joy and your peace, if you don't protect your walk with the Lord, Oh, Satan's going to steal it. And then you're going to be wondering, where's it at? Where's God at? God ain't going nowhere. Jesus said, if you trust Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what He said. And Jesus can't tell a lie. So He ain't going nowhere, right? So you need to keep telling yourself, Jesus ain't going nowhere. It's me. This is me. I've got to get back closer to Him. It's not Him. He ain't going nowhere. He's right there. You just got to decide you want to be with Him more than you want to be with this world. He saw them and He knew they were sheep that needed a shepherd. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples come unto Him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. They've been following me all day. The days are not gone. It's far spent. They need to eat. And He answered unto them, give them to eat. Feed them. Have you ever been in a position where you just didn't know how you were going to take care of your needs?
Yes.
You didn't know how you was going to pay your bills. You didn't know how you was going to eat. You didn't know what you was going to do. I mean, I can remember a lot of times when Jen and I first got together in the first couple of years, and Trey and Nikki were babies, that we eat a lot of hamburger helper with no meat. You still call it hamburger helper because that's what it says on the box, right? A lot of ramen noodle, right? But the Lord always provides. The Lord says He will provide our needs. The problem is, in today's world, we got a lot of greeds. We got a lot of wants. We got a lot of things that we really don't need that we spend our money on, right? That's the problem. And we put ourselves in a bind. God don't put us in a bind, right? And then whenever we got to go eat just some ramen noodles because there's nothing else, woe is me, when we're taking up a collection today in an orphanage where those folks, those kids don't have hardly nothing. They're completely dependent on people that are not even kin to them to feed them and clothe them. You know, you can sit there and say you get in a bind, but I don't know many Americans that's really been in a bind that didn't choose to be in a bind. If you've got a dry place to sleep, if you've got food to eat, you're not going hungry, then you're in a whole lot better off than a lot of other people around this world. You know, can you imagine living in a cardboard house? There's people that do it.
Yes.
People that live in cardboard. Can you imagine a family of seven or eight people eating and sleeping and everything in one room? You cook, you eat, you sleep, you do everything in that one room. There's people around the world that do that. You know, we're really blessed, and we need to be thanking the Lord for it. We need to be praising Him. He says, give them to eat. And they said unto Him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And He said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and say. And when they knew, they say, five loaves and two fishes. Now I want you to look with me in John chapter 6, and then we'll go into Luke. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. I'll be reading out of King James. John chapter 6 and verse 9. Remember the good thing about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see the four different viewpoints of this happening right here. You can see what each one thought was the most important thing to share about it. That's the great thing about having four Gospels, is you can look at it from four different viewpoints. And if you really want to look for it, we're not going to go to Matthew, but it's also in Matthew chapter 14. All four of the Gospels have this miracle of this feeding in it. But in John chapter 6, we're going to start verse 7. Philip answered and said, 200 when Jesus tells him to go feed him. Philip answered, and he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He says, if we had 200, remember the other recorded that said, what do you want us to do, take 200 penny worth? Well, Philip is telling him 200 penny worth won't even get it to where everybody gets a little bit. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many?" So Andrew found a little lad that had the lunch that probably his mom put together for him. I think. That's just me. Now you're going to throw me into Luke. Luke chapter 9. It's an amazing thing here when these folks just form to follow Jesus like that. You know, Jesus tells us if we will follow him, if we will mind the things of the kingdom, that all these other things will be taken care of for us. Everything else will be taken care of if we will just follow him. The problem is we get off track and we quit following and we go to chasing after what we want in life instead of seeking what God wants us to do in life. And when we're chasing after our own things, God is not responsible to take care of us then. We chose to leave. It's kind of like the prodigal son. When that prodigal son leaves and he goes off into that foreign country, the dad is no more responsible for him. He chooses to go on his own, and he wants to, and even tells dad, "Give me my portion. I think I can handle it. I can do it from here. I don't need your help." And so many people do that thing, same thing to the Lord. They may tell him, "Lord, please help me," and then go try to fix it themselves. Or so, if you want to try it again, go ahead. I'm pretty sure you'll be back. Same way with the prodigal son. And when he come back, what happened? Dad ran to meet him. Dad was waiting for him. He come back to be a servant. And Dad said, "You put a purple robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Mark him. He's still my son. My son that was dead is alive." Amen. If you will seek after God, if you will just try to hold on to God, then he will take care of every need that you got. You won't have to worry about things. You probably still will because it's the way of this world. But you don't have to. You can actually just say, "Lord, I'm going to do what I think you want me to do today. I'm seeking your will. Lord, I want you to show me. And if I'm not doing what you want, I want you to correct me. I want you to show me what is the way you want me to go. And I'm going to trust you're going to take care of these things. I'm going to do the very best of what I got. I'm going to try to manage my finances, which you blessed me with. I'm going to try to take care of them in a way that I think you would want me to do it. I'm going to try to do what you got. Lord, and I'm going to trust you're going to take care of everything else." You can do that. And he will, I promise you, he will take care of your needs if you'll just follow him. So he said he found this little lad. Let's look at verse 13. So we're back up in the story just a little bit so we don't miss anything from another one. In Luke chapter 9. But he said unto them, give them to eat. And they said, "We have no more but five loaves and two fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all his people." For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, "Make them sit down by 50s in a company." What's Jesus doing right here? Think about what he's doing. Because a lot of times we look at this miracle of this feeding, and we think how awesome it is that God just does it. But in a world that we live in today, we've got to be really careful because we're in a culture that says God is love. And God will always love you, and God will always take care of you, and God will always welcome you, and God always is happy with whatever you're doing. Don't we live in that kind of culture?
Yes.
But that's not the way it is. God will always love you. That's not a lie. But God is not always happy with what you're doing. And God has given you some direction in what you're supposed to do. And these folks, he said, make them sit down by 50s in a company. What happens if somebody says, I don't sit with them folks? They can go away hungry, can't they? Because
yes.
God said, make them sit down in companies of 50. You see, Jesus didn't just say, everybody come get whatever you want to eat. Jesus said, I'm going to take care of you, but you're going to do what I say. That's what he said here. He said, we're going to have some structure to this. We're going to do this in an orderly fashion. We're going to do this my way, or we're not going to do it at all. You're welcome to go into another place and eat. You're welcome to go find you something to eat. But if you want me to feed you, you're going to follow this. You're going to make them. You see that? Don't say ask them. Don't say plead with them. It don't say beg them. That's the reason a lot of times people say, well, you're going to need to call and check on this person or that person that we haven't seen them. And I will check on folks if I know that they've been sick, but I will not beg people to come to church. I won't do it. The church is open for you. You should want to come.
Amen.
And if you're coming because I'm begging you, God don't want you here. God wants you to come because you want to come and worship. You want to come and pray. You want to come and learn. You want to come and fellowship with your brothers and sisters. He don't want you to come if you're coming because you've been nagged. And I'm not going to nag people when you don't come to church.
Amen.
I want to worship with folks that want to be here.
Amen.
I want to have a good time worshiping with others that want to be here. He says, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so. You know, he says that he can bless our nation if we will turn from our wicked ways. But we can't ask him to bless our nation if we say we ain't going to change. I mean, we can ask. But he's probably going to say, when you do the rest of that verse, I'll do what I commit to. Because I put some guidelines in that. If you want me to bless your nation, I told you what I want you to do. Just like he will feed you, but you're going to have to try to do what you're supposed to do. Right? And they did so, and they made them all sit down. Did they ask them? They begged them?
Nope.
They plead with them?
Nope.
They said, y'all hungry? Jesus said, everybody get in groups of 50 and sit down. You know what they did? They got in groups of 50 and they sat down. Do you know why they did that without anybody arguing or bickering or saying, I don't want to sit by this one, I don't want to sit by that one? Because they loved the Lord. They loved what he was saying. They loved what he was doing. They were seeking him. They came to see him. Not, I want to sit on that spot over there, not this spot over here. Right? Not, wait a minute. What are you going to feed me? I may not like that. I want mayonnaise on my fish instead of honey. That's the world we live in today, y'all. We're laughing, but it's serious. We got some problems with being spoiled. They made them all sit down, and he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and he broke. And he gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Can you imagine? He took that last lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is an extraordinary lad right here. A miracle in itself that this young man hadn't already eaten his lunch. My lunch wouldn't have made it that long. No, that is a miracle in itself, you know. But he took this 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He looked up to heaven. Did he have to look up to heaven?
No.
No, he is God in the flesh. But he's setting an example that we need to be thanking the Father for everything that we got.
Amen.
And he asked the Lord to bless it. And then he started reaching in and handing it out. Breaking it and handing it. To 12 different disciples, taking it to these groups of 50 that were sitting. And every time he reached into that basket, there was more. Every time he reached into the basket, there was more. Every time he reached into that basket, there was more. And he just kept on handing it out. And they did eat and were all filled. They didn't just get a bite. They were all full. This is what God will do for you. This is how God, if you will just do what He's trying to get you to do in your life. And He's not asking you to do hard things. He may be asking you to do something that makes you a little uncomfortable. But He's not going to ask you to do hard things. That's the amazing thing about God. Everything that He asks us to do is doable. We just got to put one foot in front of the other and do it. It's kind of like eating an elephant one bite at a time, right? It's not that big a deal if you will just do it. Don't sit there and think about it. When God says, put somebody on your mind you need to call or shoot them a text or go by and see them, you just do it. Instead of sitting there going, I don't know what to say. I don't know how they may not want anybody to contact them right now. They may be busy. They may be doing this. I don't want to be a bother. Excuses. You hear them every day, right? You make all kinds of excuses why not to do it. But how many times have you sent somebody a message and it was really glad you did? Because they sent back, hey, how are you doing? It's so good to hear from you. Or, you wouldn't believe what I've been going through. I really needed to hear from somebody. You know, God knows what you need to do. And usually it's something just as simple as just do this. And then it's done. You feel good. They feel good. God says, he passed the test. She passed the test. Don't it feel good to pass the test? When you lay your head down on your pillow at night, you say, thank you, Lord, for using me today. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be usable today. Instead of this, Lord, please forgive me again for messing up. Right? All you got to do is be willing to be used. And when he lays something on your heart, just do it. That's usually the way it happens. He lays it on your heart. How do you think I get a message? He lays it on my heart. How do you think I know when to call somebody or check on somebody? He lets us know. Just in your heart. You feel it. And you know, I need to do this. Do it. They did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. What did it start with?
Five loaves and two fish.
How many baskets do you think that was?
One.
It was probably one. Any good mathematicians in here? What kind of increase is that?
110%.
Now add on how much fed all the people. Because we can say what's left is the increase. But the increase was actually everybody among them got full, and then there was that much still left over. This is why I tell people, if you, and I don't preach on tithing. I don't. I feel like that nobody preached to Abraham on tithing. And if God is blessing you, then you should want to bless back.
Amen.
That should be a want. It shouldn't be something you're told to do. Because we're not bound by the law anymore. We're not. We're free to be able to bless whoever we want to, however much we want to. We're not bound by a percentage. We can bless way more than that if we want to. But I've heard preachers preach on God's economics, God's money stuff doesn't make sense. And I can promise you what's happening in my life is Jenna, and I've shared with y'all before, so she knows I've shared. Jenna didn't feel the same way about giving in the Lord that I did when we got married. She just didn't. And Jenna has managed our money most of our marriage. And I'm so glad she does because I hate money. Hate's a strong word, but that's pretty close to the way I feel about money, and that's probably the only thing I feel that strongly about. I think that it is the love of that is the root of all evil, and there's too many people to get caught up in it. So I just let her handle it however she wants to take care of it. As long as we pay the people that my name's on that we're going to pay, I don't care what goes on with the rest of it. But I am so glad to be able to help other people. And when we first got married, she couldn't understand that. And she'd say, we don't have enough money to tithe. I'd say, I'm not going to argue with you about money. I'm not. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you feel like you don't have enough money to give back to the Lord, from the increase he gave, it ain't gonna get no better. Because those are increases that God has gave. And if you think you don't have enough money to bless him for blessing you, don't expect more blessings. Because you're not managing that very well. And I don't think he's going to bless somebody that's not managing because they think they can't give back when he's gave everything he got. I remember a good story. And I've shared this one before. Some of you may not have heard it. About a man that came to a preacher. And he said, "Preacher, I need you to pray with me because I've got an interview at work here and a promotion I could be getting that's going to be a lot more money. And can you pray with me that God helps me to get this job?" So the preacher sat down and prayed with him, asked the Lord to bless him, and if the Lord seemed fit to give him this job where he can make all this more money for his family. This man come back next Sunday and said, "Preacher, thank you, Lord, I got the job." Next week, you come back and say, "Preacher, we need to talk again. I need some prayer." Or didn't ask for prayer, you just need to talk. So he sat down with the preacher after the service and told the preacher, he said, "I just got my first check. Boy, howdy, it's a lot of money, preacher. It's a lot of money. And you know, the church was doing fine when I was given 10% on my old salary. So I don't think the church really needs that much more money for me to give 10% of this new salary. It don't make sense. The church don't need it." He said, "It's okay, brother." He said, "Let's pray. I know you're struggling, and I know you really need some help in this, and let's see what God can do about it." He said, "Lord, please give this man back his old job so that he won't feel so bad about tithing." When people get caught up in finances, people get caught up in money, people get caught up in how much they got, but I'm telling you, the Lord does not do finances, does not do. I've seen tires last way, way longer than they'll last. I've seen motors run without oil changes for hundreds of thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of miles without oil changes. I've seen cars that there's no way this thing should be running, and it's still starting every time they hit the key switch. It should be stopped already. Old tractors still mowing and working the field. They should have been put out in pasture years and years and years ago. But they keep on going and keep on going because God's blessed it. And God's taking care of these things. Brother Gene shared a story with me one time. Brother Gene said we were out in the field and we were working with a track hoe. And those tracks come off. And he said, we struggled, we tried to get them back on, We had a whole lot of work to do, and we didn't really have the money to pay somebody to come and help us get these tracks back on. And he said, I happened to be working with an old pastor. And he said, he was doing everything I told him to try to do. And I finally said, "I don't know what else to do, we're just going to give up." Said that old pastor said, "Gene, we've tried everything you want to try." He said, "Let's ask the Lord to put this track back on for us." And Gene said, "Well, I don't think I got enough faith to believe he's going to do that." And the old preacher said, "That's okay, I do." So they prayed over that tractor. And he told Brother Dean, he said, "Now get back in there and drive off." Brother Gene said, "You ain't going to believe this. I hit them forward levers and that track jumped back on." God does things that we don't understand in ways we don't understand. If we're faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us.
Amen.
But we got to be faithful, and the problem is we're so spoiled and we're so used to doing things our way, we forget that when God says something as simple as sit down in groups of 50, you follow that. If God says you contact this person, you do it right now. You don't wait. You don't try to figure out how the best way is to do it. You do it whatever the easiest way is to do it right now, because He's wanting it to happen right now. They need you right now. There's lots and lots of people that's told me, "How in the world did you know I needed you right now?" Because God has the timing. So when God says you sit down, just sit down. When God says you pull over, you pull over. When God says you say hi to the person beside you, even though they look mean and they look mad, you say hi. And you don't worry about the consequences. You do what God lays on your heart to do. It's usually very simple. And if you will do those things, God will bless you. I believe it. Not in a way that this world teaches today. I'm not saying you're going to get a check in the mail because you did what God said. I'm saying He's going to bless you. And God blesses in ways that we need, not ways that we think we want. God knows what your needs are. And God will take care of those needs. God wants to take care of those needs. And He even does bless with some of the things that we don't need. But we have to be obedient. It came to pass, as he had also, or as he was alone praying, his disciples there with him, and he asked, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" Jesus says, "Okay, y'all been with them all day. You've been out feeding them today." People talk a lot more when they're eating, right? Fellowship. You get a lot more feedback from somebody when you feed them. He says, "Who say the people that I am?" And they answering said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." So the people are hearing him talk. They're seeing what he does. And they're believing that he's a prophet. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you think I am? Peter, of course, is Peter always speaking, huh? Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." Peter knew. Ain't no regular prophet can do these things. Ain't no regular prophet can just open their mouth and speak of God. There ain't no prophet that the Spirit would descend on like a dove when you're baptized. You are Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are God in the flesh. That's who you are. And if you know that's who He is, don't belittle Him and think that He don't know the future. Don't belittle Him and think that He can't fix whatever's broken in your life. He's the living God in the flesh. Amen. And He can fix anything going on in your life. And He wants to. Just know when He says, "Sit down," you do it. When He says, "Get up," when He says, "Go," you do it. He's God in the flesh. And He can direct you in ways that will help you. When He gives you instructions, it's not to make your life harder. It's not to make things more difficult. It's not to give you a challenge that you can't handle. It's because He knows what's best for you. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. Matter of fact, He says He wants you to have these things abundantly in your life. So if you will just do what He's asking you to do, your life will get better. It's amazing. Ask Tina one day when you're just sitting and talking to her about if she thinks now that giving offerings with no limits on how much you can give and help somebody. Ask her if she don't think that had blessed her life and us in so many different ways, and our kids. Right? We're not limited to how much we can help people anymore. There's no limit. The Lord says, "Love the Lord thy God with all heart, soul, and mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself." If you do these things, you don't have to worry about other things at all. You just don't. They'll be taken care of. He will take care of them. But you got to learn to listen. You got to learn to follow. You got to learn when He says, "Sit down, sit down." It's easy. It's really, really easy. We just got to quit being so hard-headed. We got to quit being so stubborn. We got to quit wanting it our way and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank You for everything that You teach us and everything that You do. Lord, help us to learn to follow. Help us learn to listen, Lord. To have ears. You say if we have ears, let us hear. We got the ears, but we just have a hard time listening sometimes, Lord. So, Father, help us. Myself included, Lord, because I know You got more You want to do. You got more I can be doing. So help me to hear more. Help me to listen better and to do more. Father, and I hope the same for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, if there's anybody here today or out in Facebook land or in the internet that's hearing your word read, I finally see it today that you truly are the Son of the living God. That Peter was right. Lord, and they want to turn their life over to you, Lord, that you soften their heart, draw them to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.